670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Have something to say? Dial us 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Call his wife in 403. McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Wednesday morning, 888-808-1019. I got you for one more hour until the warm-up show comes your way. And we're taking your calls on this miserable morning for us baseball fans as the Mets get beat up again by Philadelphia. They have now lost four games in a row. Manaea continues to throw batting practice. The manager tells us he's getting another start. Why? I have no idea. As it's clear, crystal clear, that right now, whatever's going on in his arm, the loose bodies, whatever, he is not healthy and he can't pitch through it. Doesn't change the fact that the offense can't score runs either. It was only four runs, to be fair. The Mets, who are still the only team in baseball who haven't won a game after trailing in the eighth inning, continue to just go through this malaise over the last four or five games with just no offense after having an incredible August. September has been a dud for them offensively. They are now nine games back. We knew this yesterday, the day before, 3 days ago. The division's long gone, and they are holding on with their fingernails to the final wild card spot as they are two games up on the San Francisco Giants, and it's hard to take. And then you get to the Yankees, and they do the same thing. We kind of opened the show talking about how both teams are being stubborn with particular players who are useless. The Yankees, yeah, the seventh inning was a disaster. Yes, Fernando Cruz, who's been great, who we've been praising, who helped them win game after game against the Astros, and the Blue Jays has had a great run here since coming back from being injured. Hell, when he's been healthy, he's pitched great for the Yankees this entire season. He comes into a tie game in the seventh, 2-2. I haven't even mentioned that Judge hit a home run that eclipsed Yogi Berra for fifth all-time on the Yankee list. We didn't even get to that. We're so frustrated. Haven't even talked about it yet. But a 2-2 game in the seventh becomes, 35-2 game after the seventh as Fernando Cruz can't get anybody out. Boone goes to Leiter. He's throwing the ball all over the place, walking everybody, gives up a game, bases clearing triple, and the Yankees get spanked 12-2. In the first game of this series against Detroit. And that's not even the part that bothers me. I have no problem with how Boone handled that inning. I really don't. We've gone over that. You can call me up and tell me I'm an idiot for that at 888-808-1019. I have no problem going to Cruz. I have no problem trying to leave Cruz in because he's their strikeout guy, and that's what you need with the bases loaded. I have no problem going to Leiter once they're down against the lefties in that lineup, as opposed to going to Hill and having them pinch hit all righties for Hill. I have no problem. The inning just got away. What I have a problem with was what happened before the game even started, where they continue to throw at Anthony Volpe. Anthony Volpe, we've been saying it for a week, but it continues to be so obvious and painfully obvious that the Yankees are being stubborn right now with Anthony Volpe, who again gave you feeble at-bats in the sixth inning of this game, tied at two. The first two guys get on ahead of him, a single by Jazz, a single by Wells, and Anthony Volpe is unable to lay down the bunt. The Yankees don't score a run, and it felt from that moment, you knew the Yankees were in trouble. The bullpen then has the blow-up of the seventh, and the New York Yankees drop a game as the Toronto Blue Jays win their game in comeback fashion against the Astros, and now the division lead is back up to 3-4 in real circumstances, considering the Yankees have the Blue Jays have the tiebreaker against the Yankees, and the odds of winning the American League East took a big hit last night with a miserable loss and a come from behind win from the Jays. We've talked a lot about the Jays and how they're still frauds, even with that lead and Buck Martinez, but ultimately, ugly night for our baseball teams, and stubbornness rules the day. Because for me, Anthony Volpe can't play anymore. And Manaea can't pitch anymore. And the Mets are literally clinging on to a two-game lead of being out of the postseason, and the Yankees can't lose anymore if they want to buy and home field advantage and win this division. And you can't play players who are useless. And unfortunately for Sean Manaea, as great as he was last year, he's clearly not healthy and can't pitch through it. He is useless. And Anthony Volpe, despite whatever promise or hot streaks we have seen, I don't know if he'll be useless forever. He is useless right now. He can't hit. He can't field. He can't lay down a bunt. There is literally nothing Anthony Volpe does that helps the New York Yankees in any way. And they continue to throw him out there. He got booed out of the building. I was in the building last night. If you're watching on YouTube, that's why I'm in the jersey. I was at the game last night. He was, and what's frustrating for him is it's clearly in his head. It's clearly mental. And the manager gave him an easy win. He doesn't have to get a hit. He doesn't have to even get a sacrifice fly. He doesn't have to walk. He doesn't have to do anything other than put a ball on the ground. If he does that and moves the runners over, he gets the entire crowd's going to applaud him. Because one, we love small ball. You know those Yankee fans, we love small ball. A bunt that moves runners over in the sixth inning, we're going to go nuts for you, Anthony. It was an easy win. And he blew it. He pops up in foul territory to the third baseman. That inning goes to crap. McMahon, who had a miserable night as well, struck out for, I think, the third time or it was second time. He ends up striking out three times in the game, but he strikes out. And then you get a 3-0 fastball flown out the center field from Grisham with Judge on deck. Frustrating inning leading right into one of the worst innings you've ever seen in your life. And the Yankees lose. Mets lose. It's almost like it's football Sunday again. 888-808-1019. So that's where we've been all Wednesday morning. A lot of frustration with our baseball teams, and more than just frustration, watching them beat their head against the wall, as Mendoza's already come out and said, Manaea's pitching his next time around. There's no reason. You've brought up Sproat. He pitched well. You have the three young kids in, obviously, McLean and Tong as well, and you've got Peterson, and you've got Clay Holmes. There is no reason to continue to throw out what is batting practice from Sean Manaea. There's just no reason for it. And it's not that it's going to get better, and it's not that he needs to find himself. It's clearly that he's pitching with loose objects, foreign objects in his elbow. He's unable to get through it. He can't do it. The fastball doesn't have the zip. It's not like his stuff is good and he's not locating. He's got nothing. He's got nothing. And yes, a lot of it's about the offense. And yes, it's been about the offense almost all year. But you can't bench the entire team. They tried Siri. He did nothing. You know, this offense, which has been hot through August, has completely cooled off. But you are who you are. They need to come through. They need to be better. But you can't throw out starting pitchers who don't provide anything. Both the Mets and Yankees were stubborn last night, and it was in part the reason they lost. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. I got you for 50 more minutes as we take you to the warm-up show. Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Chris.
Hey.
So all those things you said are true, but, you know, I call because talking about the Yankees' inability to develop players, you know. And Judge, of course, crowned
only happens to be the best player in Major League Baseball and one of the greatest to ever do it, yes.
Right, crown jewel of that, but you know what? I will say this about Will Warren.
Mm-hmm.
Homegrown Will Warren.
Yep.
He has gotten better. He has proceeded as he's gotten better as the season has gone along.
There's no doubt. If you look at the pitching in general. If you look at what Luis Hill is pitching to an ERA under 3. Cam Schlittler is pitching to an ERA under 3. Those are all homegrown Yankees. Will Warren leads all rookie pitchers in strikeouts. Like the right now, the development side on the pitching, those three guys are in the rotation. You know, one of them for sure is getting a playoff start, even if it's in a wild card series. Like, the Yankees have developed some starting pitching here. There's no doubt.
And here's another way to look at this.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees lost Juan Soto and yet they are still where they are. They are within striking distance of getting a bye, of being having home field throughout the American, you know, the playoffs. Yep. Mm-hmm. Even though tonight, that aspiration took a little bit of a hit tonight.
Yep,
it did.
It certainly did.
But it is still well within reach. It is still within reach.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you lost Soto, and that guy. I just want to say, he's good. It's likely he's going to get 40 home runs.
Yep.
It's likely he's going to get 30 stolen bases.
He's already got 30.
He already has 100 runs scored.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get 100 RBIs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that's pretty, you know, he's pretty well.
It's better than pretty. He's phenomenal. He's a phenomenal baseball player. He's an incredible baseball player. The issue is, and this is just fair, because I know everyone wants to go, on a down year with his numbers. There's no doubt he's having a very good statistical season. The impact on winning hasn't been as much as you would like. And it's just a fact. That's just a fact. He's had a great year. He's going to finish with those numbers you're talking about. He's going to have 40 home runs, 30 stolen bases, score 100, drive in 100. He's going to have an OPS about 940, 950. He is going to have a typical Juan Soto year on the back of a baseball card. The old, you know, Mike and the Mad Dog would go through the years when they would try and debate whether or not someone was a Hall of Famer. Hall of Fame year, Hall of Fame year, Hall of Fame year. This is another Hall of Fame year when you're counting up Hall of Fame years for Juan Soto. Without question. But the impact on winning games for the New York Mets hasn't been as high as you would like. That's just fair. He's been bad with runners in scoring position outside of the month of August. His best, you know, months were June and August. June, they had a losing record, I believe. I know it started on June 13th, but they weren't winning very much. And even in August, like, they've been an under 500 team since June 13th. With Juan Soto finding it. The best the Mets played was when Juan Soto was melancholy and struggling. That's when they won the most games. So I'm not knocking him. He's a great player. I'm not knocking him. But although the numbers are going to look the same, and this is just a fact. This is not the Yankee fanboy in the Yankee jersey, and I went to the game today, I know. This is not just the Yankee fanboy saying this. It's just a fact. Although the numbers are going to be similar between last year and this year, the impact he had on the New York Yankees was far greater than the impact he's had on the New York Mets this year. It's just a fact. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be a jerk. That's just the truth. Now, that's today. It might be a completely different story from September 10th through the postseason. Because that's how good he is. And get him to the playoffs, and he might be a stud and put the team on his back and carry them to the World Series. On the table. But as of today, September 10th, as great as Juan Soto has been, it hasn't impacted winning for the Mets as much as you would like. And right now, the offense just hasn't done enough outside of that 3-week to 4-week stretch where they were the best team with runners in scoring position. They were scoring all those runs. It was 9-10 runs a game. Alonso was hot. Lindor was hot. Soto was incredibly hot. Vientos was reestablishing himself. Nimmo was hot. McNeil was putting the ball in play. Like, while that was all happening and the Mets were playing good baseball first stretch and the offense was killing it and they were sweeping the Phillies, the last 5 games or so, the offense has completely evaporated. And we can scream about Manaea because that's an easy decision. It's not so much that it's Manaea's fault they lost the game last night. It's that that's an easy decision. You have other pitchers. He can't pitch anymore, plain and simple. The offense is a more complicated issue that there is no clear answer that the manager can just snap his finger and say, here, that'll fix it. You can fix Manaea getting lit up every 5th day or every 6th day. You can fix that. And that's why we scream about it, because that's an easy, that's a snap of the finger, he's out of the rotation, and you're better off for it. The lineup is a more complicated, convoluted issue. And they're back into the ways they've been since June 13th, outside of the month of August, with not doing a damn thing and miserable at-bats. Even Mendoza was talking about it. Watch the game last night and see how many good pitches were taken by the Mets. They are in their head. They are guessing. They are looking for things. Alvarez the other night looking for a fastball just up there hacking, hoping he gets what he's looking for. It wasn't as bad as that throughout this game, but there, Pete Alonso had some miserable at-bats in this game. Suarez absolutely dominated them. 12 strikeouts. The offense needs to wake up. Paul in Buffalo. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Chris. Before I get to my Yankee point, I got to say the 3 o'clock hour was great. You know, I wake up, turn you on, and you are just laying into the Blue Jays. Yeah. And I'm rolling.
I mean, Buck Martinez has some nerve. I'll be honest with you. I know, you know, Michael Kay said something about the Blue Jays and their run differential a few months ago. I mean, for Buck Martinez out of nowhere to just say the Yankees aren't a very good team is absolute crap. It's absolute crap.
Chris, unless Cito Gaston is in the dugout and Joe Carter's at the plate, I really, you know, don't worry about the Blue Jays at all. Doc Halliday, God rest his soul, is not going to be on the mound, and nothing to worry about with them. What is unique to me about this Yankee season, and I've said it for years, Brian Cashman's best ability is he recognized the importance of the bullpen, and we have always had a great bullpen going into the postseason. Yeah. Now, he went and got the arms. He went and got the arms, so I do not blame Brian Cashman at all. I think he's had a brilliant last year and a half. But right now, I have faith in David Bednar, and that's it. I mean, Luke the Dream Weaver, I don't know what's wrong with him. Devin Williams did strike out Vlad Guerrero in his last
game. And nobody else could, that's for sure, yeah.
And maybe Devin Williams, the airbender is bending. The airbender, as Joe Flamingo calls it, is finally bending. But right now, I only believe in Bednar, and thank God our starting pitching has come around because we're going to need these guys to go 7. When you have to get, you know, that 9 to 12 outs, forget about it. If they only have to get 6 outs, I believe they can do it. If they got to get the 7th inning, oh boy.
Yeah, well, I mean, get ready. They're going to have to get the 7th inning. I mean, that's just, they're going to have to in the postseason. I think that's unfair. Weaver's last 2 appearances haven't been great. You know, I mean, it's not like he's been knocked around. I mean, he gave up a home run. He gave up a couple of hits. Like, the last 2 haven't been great, but I still trust Weaver. I'm still not where I don't trust him. I think there are 3 guys I trust right now. I still trust Fernando Cruz. He was miserable last night. Couldn't get an out. 5 batters, 5 men on base. 2 hits and a double, a single, and 3 walks. Miserable. I still trust him. He's been that good. It's 1 outing. It sucks that it happened. It sucks that it blew that game. They should have scored more runs. And that's it. Like, when you score more runs, you can be more aggressive as a manager. Like, if the Yankees have a lead, you can be more aggressive to go to Weaver. You can be more aggressive to go to your top relievers. You're not going to do it tied, bases loaded, to bring in Weaver to hopefully pull a miracle to keep you down 1 or 2. Like, you just, like, they're down 2 runs when they make the move. You want to bring in Weaver, bases loaded, nobody out, already down 2 runs, hope he pulls a miracle to keep it at 2 runs? Like, and then pitch both of those guys in a loss? But if you're up 2 runs, you can go be more aggressive and go, okay, he doesn't have it, I'll go to Weaver, and then I'll figure out the 8th and 9th. Tie game, which is their fault for not scoring more runs against Casey Mize. That's how the manager's going to handle it. That's how most managers are going to handle it. But I still trust him. I still trust Weaver. I still trust Bednar. That's it. Those are the 3 I trust. And Hill against lefties. Hill against lefties. Hill against righties, I have no faith in. Hill against lefties and those 3. Now, you're going to have to trust more than that. Because for all of our talk about Devin Williams and he can't pitch in this leverage situation, he can't pitch in that leverage situation, he can't do this, he can't do that. Have you watched Yankee playoff baseball over the last handful of years? Every inning and every spot is going to be high leverage. You're going to need Devin Williams to pitch. They don't have enough arms to just avoid Devin Williams. He's pitching in the postseason, and he's going to pitch in spots where if he doesn't come through, it's going to hurt the Yankees. That's the nature of the business. Leiter is going to pitch in spots. Like, that's just it. There's no way to avoid it. Unless the rotation is suddenly going to go 7-8 every single start, which, good luck with that. In today's day and age, good luck with that. You have 125 pitch inning, you're not going 7. That's it. Especially if they're going to throw either Schlittler or Hill or Warren. They have 125 pitch inning. They're not pitching 7 innings. They're just not. They're not. So, You got to trust these guys at some point. You got to go to them. You got to be able to throw a lighter in a game and not be able to throw a strike and throw nothing but wild pitches. Like, that can't happen. Lighter's got to be better. And yeah, the bullpen, you go into the bullpen is without question. For the New York Yankees, when I think of the Yankees, their defense, specifically Volpe, which I do think will be fixed in the postseason. There's no way they're playing Volpe in the postseason. I would be shocked. They're going to play Caballero. Caballero's going to start tonight. Mark my words, Caballero starts tonight. Anthony Volpe's on the bench tonight. I don't think there's any doubt. He's being benched tonight. I don't know about if he's being benched permanently tonight, but he will not be in the lineup tonight for the New York Yankees. And come the postseason, they will play Caballero. They don't think they need to give Caballero a run. It's not like, oh, let's give him 10 days to a week, let him get comfortable. He's comfortable as a bench player. He could play shortstop. They're going to plug him in whenever they decide to plug him in. They're going to probably play Volpe a lot between now and the postseason. But if Volpe never hits again, if Volpe is this same guy the rest of the way, he's not playing in the postseason. So that'll make me feel better about the defense. But it's the bullpen is the scariest part of this team. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. Think of how many games. Think of where they would be if they held on to every game they had a three-run lead in the eighth inning or later. That's it. Doesn't have to be a one-run game. Every three or four runs, they blew at least five or six games. They're in first place if Devin Williams gets out of situations where it's a three, four-run lead. Every closer is going to blow some. But he blew three-run leads, four-run leads. And now the bullpen continues to come in and just, they don't just give up two runs, they completely fall apart. It's without question the biggest question mark of the New York Yankees, and traditionally going into the postseason hasn't been. It's been the offense. The biggest question mark heading into the postseason almost exclusively has been the offense. This year, I feel good about the offense. Doesn't mean they'll hit, but I feel good about it. It's the bullpen that scares me.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin and Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Get the hell out of you.
Your friends pretend they know sports. WFAN actually does. Get smarter, louder, and way more annoying at watch parties. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
All right, 4:30, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. We didn't get a chance to talk about Micah McFadden of the Giants. The initial reports were that the x-rays came back clean. Apparently not. It looks like he's got a foot injury that's going to cost him a lot of the season. Unfortunate for him, unfortunate for the Giants, who are going to have to stop the run, but I mean, that defense has got more problems than that. I gave you the stats yesterday, the second down numbers. The second down numbers were embarrassingly bad on Sunday. We'll get more into the football tomorrow and obviously football Friday with all the trimmings. I had a miserable week of picks. I was on my way to being at least 2-3 until the friggin' Buffalo Bills came back. And absolutely, I mean, it's funny because I'm 1-4, and I feel like the only game I got completely wrong, and I know, I guess you could say the Giants, but I feel like, man, if they score a touchdown there in the red zone, it's a different game, but I guess I got the Giants completely wrong. The only game I feel like I got completely wrong was the Dolphins. I mean, that was dead upon arrival, that one.
We should have done that Ravens pick a week earlier because they were a point and a half underdogs originally.
I know. I'm in a pool. I'm in a big, pool where you pick all season long, whatever, and they set the line on, I think, Tuesday, and I got them in that pool pick.
The Steelers, we all lost by a half.
And then the Steelers, we all lost by a half, yeah. Brutal. The only game I got right was Cleveland. Tough weekend. But hey, it's week number one. I never go heavy on week one anyway, so I came through rather unscathed, other than off to a bad start here on the picks.
Gives us something to look forward to climbing the rest of the season. You start off 5-0, it's like, I mean, this is going to be a nightmare.
Exactly. I got only one way to go. Up. 888-808-1019. Did you have a bad week as well? Or
I was with you, same 1-4, because we all had the same local picks, and I had the Ravens.
Yeah, and you had the Ravens.
So, like you, I thought, okay, 2-3, not that bad.
No, I'm figuring, all right, 2-3, they're up
15
points.
When I'm getting in the car to come here, they're up multiple touchdowns.
I know. Disaster for the Ravens, incredible from Josh Allen and the Bills. Just really, what a great game that was. And then even Monday night was pretty exciting with J.J. McCarthy having that comeback. And people don't understand. I did the J.J. McCarthy thing. Evan was talking about it in the midday, afternoon. I beat you to it, Evan. We were talking about J.J. McCarthy and how that, you know, would have questions for the Giants on drafting him and everything. Like, I'm not saying that. Like, obviously, if Jackson Dart turns out, no one's going to care. But the point is, like, they had an opportunity to draft J.J. McCarthy. We could have been in year two of a quarterback. We could have been in, like, now I'm not saying he's going to be great or last night or Monday night proves that J.J. McCarthy is going to be some sort of stud in this league. He had a miserable first half. He was part of the reason, if not the reason, they were down 11 points or 10 points and had to come back and make that comeback. But he did. And he played extremely well. The guys won a national championship. There was a lot of buzz around him during the draft period. And the Giants were in desperate need of a quarterback, trying to move up to get Jaden Daniels, trying to move up to get May, and had J.J. McCarthy sitting there and chose to pass on him. When you choose to pass on a starting quarterback and you are the quarterback whisperer, that quarterback, if he turns out to be a big-time player in this league, is going to be a mark against you. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. And until we see Jackson Dart, like, J.J. McCarthy played in an NFL game. J.J. McCarthy went and won and came back and threw two touchdown passes and ran one in and came back and won a game in the fourth quarter. We haven't seen Jackson Dart yet. Like, we have to see what Jackson Dart is. But, yeah, obviously, if Jackson Dart becomes what everybody hopes he's going to become, then no issue passing on J.J. McCarthy. But as I was doing it kind of juxtaposed against everyone upset about Daniel Jones. Like, Daniel Jones was a decision already, decided. We knew Daniel Jones might become a Hall of Famer with the Indianapolis Colts, for all I know. It wasn't going to happen here. It was time to move on. And so I don't look at that as, like, a mark against this team. One, they didn't draft him. Two, they got the best year of his career out of him and won a road playoff game with him. Three, it's not their fault he was constantly injured, although I guess you could argue the not building an offensive line good enough is part of the reason he got injured. But, like, I don't hold that against Brian Daboll all that much. But the quarterbacks he passed on, I think that's a fair thing to hold against them, especially if one's going to, you know, be the kind of kid who rallies and plays excellent in the fourth quarter. That was an Eli Manning-type game. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Jarvis in Harlem. What's up, Jarvis?
What's up, Chris? How are you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good, good, good. I want to talk about the Yankees and, like Buck Martinez is saying like they're not a good team because he's just trying to control the Yankees and the Yankee fans and all that. They haven't been a good team. But like you said before, they got to the World Series. They finally end a 15-year longest drought, haven't been to the World Series for the first time in 2009. Yeah. And, they beat the Royals and the Guardians in the postseason. Like that don't mean nothing.
Yeah, you got to apologize for making it to the World Series. It's like, you know, it was some sort of like the easiest path in the history of mankind to get to the World Series. And so never mind the fact that, you know, the reason they played the Kansas City Royals is because the Baltimore Orioles, who are, you know, this bastion of young talent over the last couple of years, couldn't beat them. And that's otherwise they wouldn't have had to play the Royals. But yeah, look, you don't have to go back to last year. Just look at this year's team. Like the things Buck Martinez said about the New York Yankees. Do we have it again? You want to play it again? If you don't know what I'm talking about, if you're just tuning in, Buck Martinez last night, as the Yankees were having the seventh inning from hell and giving up all those runs and turning a 2-2 game into a 10-2 game or whatever it became in the seventh.
11-2.
Thank you very much. It became 11-2.
You were there.
I stopped caring about how many runs were scored. I got to be totally honest with you. I was there, though. So as they were giving up that inning, I guess they were the Toronto Blue Jays at the time were still losing. They came back and won against the Houston Astros. But Buck Martinez, who's a broadcaster for the Blue Jays on what was the
Sportsnet.
Sportsnet. Doing the game, and I guess he got, they mentioned that that's what the score had become, that a 2-2 game had now become an 11-2 game, and he decided to make comments about the New York Yankees mid-broadcast on the Toronto Blue Jays game. So this is what Buck Martinez, Toronto Blue Jays broadcaster, had to say about the Yankees last night.
You know, the Yankees, they're not a good team. I don't care what their record is. They have a lot of wild pitches. They make a lot of mistakes in the field. They don't run the bases very well. If they don't hit home runs, they don't have a chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, so out of nowhere. Now, again, Michael Kay had some things to say a couple months ago at the Blue Jays. I don't know if this is a tit-for-tat kind of thing. I doubt it. But everything he said, like, yes, they haven't been good defensively. But to say that the Yankees, who, yeah, it's fair to say they're not a great team. And again, I don't think there's a great team in Major League Baseball. To say they're not a good team after they just took 2 of 3 from the Blue Jays. And the idea that everything he just said there, one, if you want to go between them and the Blue Jays, because I'm assuming he thinks the Blue Jays are a good team. If you want to go, the Yankees have a better offense than the Blue Jays. The Yankees have better starting pitching than the Blue Jays. The Yankees have a better bullpen than the, even after that inning, the Yankees have a better bullpen than the Blue Jays. And I just looked it up before coming on the air. The Yankees have better base running metrics. They have more stolen bases. They have a better stolen base percentage. The runs per game associated to base running is higher for the New York Yankees. The Yankees run the bases better than the Toronto Blue Jays. The Toronto Blue Jays do one thing better than the New York Yankees. They catch the ball better. They're a better defensive team. And I guess offensively, if this is your thing, and I know it is for many people, and I'm not saying it's not important, but they strike out less. Offensively, they strike out less, and they're a better defensive team. That's it. That's it. And for a broadcaster who's been with that team for forever, who knows they haven't done a damn thing since before the 94 strike, has a lot of nerve calling the Yankees a bad team when the group right here, the group with Gausman and Berrios and Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Springer haven't won a damn playoff game. 0-6. And yes, they're up 3 games in first place, and I hope he's enjoying it, and I hope the Toronto Blue Jay fans are enjoying it while it lasts, because those frauds are going down.
I don't know, maybe he didn't make the trip to the Bronx this past weekend. What does the thing happen Saturday? You remember how many home runs the Yankees hit in that win over the Blue Jays?
I do remember. 0. They need home runs to win. Well, they beat you without hitting any. You got shut down by Luis Gil. I mean, it's ridiculous. But what bothers me most, and because I agree with everything I just said, I think it's ridiculous for a broadcaster of that team who hasn't done a damn thing in forever to take shots at other teams when the Yankees have owned them forever. This year, different story. I get it. But the idea they don't run the bases well, they do it better than the Blue Jays. They do everything else besides catch the ball better than the Toronto Blue Jays. Their run differential is almost twice as good. And I know that's not the perfect stat, but find me a better one to indicate how good a baseball team is. Find me it's a run scoring contest. Find me a better stat than how many runs you score versus how many runs you give up in a run scoring competition. Find me another stat that's more integral or more, of a determining factor of whether or not you're a good baseball team than how many runs you score versus how many runs you give up. And the Yankees do it twice as good as the Toronto Blue Jays. But that's not even what bothers me. What really set me off, and I know I'm very reactionary to this type of thing, but what really set me off was how many Yankee fans decided to retweet it and agree with it. Shame on you. Shame on you. It's one thing if I want to say it. It's one thing if you want to say it. I'll make the same joke. Why the hell not? It's one thing if Nick Totoro from Costco wants to say it. We can't have the Toronto Blue Jays saying it and agreeing with it. when did we become so self-loathing as a fan base for a team that is, I promise you, if you're a Yankee fan, they do better by you than any other team you root for. And we're out there agreeing with Buck Martinez that the Yankees stink when they have the best record in baseball the last 25 games and just beat the Blue Jays? Man, oh man. I don't know. It drove me nuts. What can I say? 888-808-1019. Let's take one call here. Jerry in Cliffside Park. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, how you doing, Chris? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
Good. I was listening to you since you started talking about Buck Martinez in the comments.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know. I don't know where to start. I was going to go one way and then I was going to go another. But I was listening to you the other night, and I don't know if you were arguing with a caller. I might be paraphrasing, where, you know, they were talking about, you know, beating Toronto, which you guys did this last time around. Mm-hmm. And you said, who cares if we beat, you know, the Red Sox? Even if we don't win the series, what counts is, you know, what you do in the postseason if you get there.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I mean, who cares about bragging rights and putting it in people's Correct. Faces and stuff? People get too hung up with that stuff, if you ask me.
It's about winning the division or having home field advantage. It's about putting yourself in the best position to be successful in October. That's what it's about. And then it's about performing in October. That's what it's about. It's not about, we've proven it to the Blue Jays or the Red Sox that we can beat them. Like, that is so overblown and doesn't matter. It's I want to beat the Red Sox because I'd rather have them come to the Yankee Stadium for 3-game wild card series than go to Fenway for a 3-game wild card series. That's why I want to beat the Red Sox.
Yeah, and you want to win the division because you want the rest. You want the advantage. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that.
Yep.
And I mean, I don't know how. I mean, it just makes no sense to me. And mm-hmm. and fans continue to do it. That's like almost when people talk about World Series rematches or Super Bowl rematches when game is completely meaningless and the World Series was played last year. I mean, come on, give me a break. But what I was going to start off with, by saying was, like, I wish I could share your enthusiasm, you know, as far as the Mets go, because I'm a, you know, longtime suffering Mets fan, I guess you could say. And I just don't, you know, everybody talks about how long the season is. Well, you know, guess what? The season is like down to, what, 17 games? And I think I caught Evan on earlier, and, you know, he was saying, I think they got to go 14-3 or something like that. And Hoff was on, and he, you know, they were talking. He was saying, I think they're going to go closer to 3-14. And I'm not usually a pessimist, but I mean, since the All-Star break, really, when they played the Little League World Series, and they seemed like they were turning the corner against the Mariners. And mm-hmm. I don't know if it was so much as the Mets turning the corner or the Mariners start to dive, because since then, you know, it's like they win a series, they lose a series, and then they lose series against teams that are, I don't want to call them garbage teams. They're just teams that aren't, you know, competitive.
Well, they lost to the Nationals. But I mean,
they lost to the Reds.
Well, the Reds are competitive. They're only a couple. You know, they're over 500. They're 3 games behind you in the wild card. They're competitive. I agree. The Mets are better. I do agree with that. But they're not. You know, the Reds are a competitive team led by, you know, one of the better managers in all of baseball, Terry Francona. So, like, I wouldn't call them, you know, they're not as good as the Mets. And you should have won the series. And now you've rolled that into Philadelphia, and you've gotten completely shut down offensively, and you've thrown a starting pitcher yesterday who's complete batting practice, and you intend to throw him again in 6 days, which doesn't make any
sense. 670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right. right, 4:52. McMonagle here with you on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Last few minutes. Thank you guys for hanging out on the YouTube channel. The live chat still has 138 people in it. I don't know if that's good or not, but that's pretty freaking cool to me at 4 o'clock in the morning. So thank you guys for hanging out. Thank you for all the comments, even the mean ones. I appreciate it. 888-808-1019. Talking mostly baseball today. We'll get back into more football Thursday, and then obviously Friday morning, as we will have our second Football Friday of the year. Giants, Cowboys, Jets, Bills. The rest of the NFL. We have Thursday night football tomorrow night. Back in the swing of things. Mainly baseball, as both of these teams have a miserable night. Yankees trying to capture the American League East. Last night was a tough night for them as the Jays came from behind and beat the Astros, and they got beat 12-2 by the Tigers. And the Mets lose the first two games of this four-game set against the Philadelphia Phillies. The division's long gone, and they are clawing with their fingernails to hang on to this final wild card spot. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Hey, Chris. Joe Shane's 23 draft had Deontay Banks.
Yep.
Who's a backup to Flott. You know the center, John Michael Smith. He's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Hyatt's backing up right now to Collins.
Yep.
Eric Gray, he's not out there, right? Trey Hawkins isn't out there.
Nope.
Jordan Riley, who's that?
Yeah, no, I mean, terrible draft.
And Javarius Owens. So that, like,
terrible
draft. Does the job. And
well,
then
the next two after that. The next two after that. The first one isn't great, but might
you
be defined.
Go 0-7,
well, can I just talk for a second? Thank you.
But you can't dismiss 0-7. Go ahead.
The first draft is bad. It's not terrible, but it's going to be defined by Evan Neal, which is you can't miss. You can't miss the seventh. You can't miss the top 10 pick. Not like this, where he's a healthy scratch. You just can't do it. And then that second year was a disaster of a draft. You're 100% right. Not a single good pick among them. And then the next two have been, we'll find out about this draft, but I think it's pretty damn good. And last year, I think, was an excellent draft. So he's miserable the first two. He's been much, much better the last two.
I didn't get my point across.
Good.
I guess I didn't even know it was a Hall. Chris, I guess I didn't get my point across.
Mm-hmm.
You go 0-7.
Yeah, it was a terrible draft.
You know, and that's anyway. So that's that. And then you got Daboll. Mm-hmm. The knock I got on him is, to me, the first sign of losing a team. Obviously, they've won, 18 games in 3 years, so average 60, is that when neighbors started yelling at him. And of course, you see it on national TV. And then he tries to shake his hand and make up with him, and neighbors isn't having it, and then he's pouting the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening with a Dan Campbell. Obviously, you go all the way back to Parcells. You got to control your team. Do you agree, Chris?
On some level, but no. I mean, we haven't seen wide receivers, while they're losing and struggling, get upset on the sideline. Sure, we have. I don't think it necessarily means.
At Buffalo.
What?
Top receiver in Buffalo. I saw Stephon Diggs
do it in Buffalo.
Catching,
sure,
10 to 14 balls in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Gone. Okay, I've seen top receivers.
Yeah, but in the moment it does. Yeah, but you're saying he lost the team. The coach lost the team because of it. We saw Diggs go crazy. Do you think McDermott lost the Bills?
I'm saying you moved on. I'm not saying move on.
So you want to move on from neighbors?
I said you got to get that under control.
I do. Listen, he's an emotional guy. He's an emotional guy. We have video of them having the conversation pre-draft, talking about the idea, how do you handle losing? And he said he doesn't handle it well, and Daboll was all about it. I think, if you watch it too, I think he's looking down and doesn't notice it, the going for the high five, until he puts his hand in his chest. But he probably doesn't. He's not interested in it.
I'm not defending it. Screaming about that.
Not everybody screaming about it. No, everyone's.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not. Everyone on your online social media group? Okay. Everyone on your online social media group.
All the Giants fans.
The player. Yeah, I have no problem with the wide receiver showing emotion. None. I have no problem. Nor do I think. He's showing emotion. He's angry. He should be. The team's freaking terrible.
Emotion. He wasn't getting the ball. He was mad. And then
he's mad. No, he's mad. The offense doesn't score in the red zone. He's mad they're not winning.
Him getting double teamed, yeah. And he wasn't getting the ball, and he put his hands up, and he's pouting about it. Chris, yeah. You saw the game.
I did see the game. Again, I did see the game. He's showing emotion. We've seen it before from wide receivers. He's showing emotion. We get mad. When teams lose and nobody shows emotion, we get mad at that. Where's the fire? Where's the toughness? Where's somebody getting mad? Where's somebody throwing? Where's Paul O'Neill hitting the water cooler? Where's the emotion? Where's the anger? He's showing emotion. He's pissed off. He should be. That is a miserable performance. If they're up 35-10 and he's all pissed off because he's not getting his, then you got a problem. They didn't have a functioning offense. They're inside the red zone throwing the tackles instead of him. I have no problem with him being upset. He didn't do anything crazy. He didn't propose to the kicking net. He didn't throw anything. He didn't punch anyone in the face. He got upset, was yelling at his coach. The coach was yelling back at him. And then the Brian Daboll tried to squash it, and it kind of didn't go great in that moment. Who cares? I care about the success on the field. Neighbors is going to help them be successful. That's it. It hasn't gotten to the point with Diggs where it was over and over and over and over again. That was week one, and they were miserable. Miserable. And I don't know who you think is talking about it, like it's some sort of like real problem inside the Giants, because I haven't heard much of it. He came out in the postgame and talked about it and gave a really good answer in the postgame, a thoughtful answer. About how it's the emotion, and he needed to see more from the team, and he's got to be a leader, and he talked about how he's going to speak up when he feels he needs to. No problem with it. And I don't think it means that Brian Daboll has lost the team, but he's got to give a better performance, and he's got to come up with a better scheme, and the offense has to look better on Sunday, that's for damn sure. And I want to see him do it with Russell Wilson. He brought in Russell Wilson. Go do it, Russell Wilson. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Fleegs on the other side. We'll see you tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Back, same bat channel, same bat time. We'll be back on the live stream as well. Thanks to everybody hanging out on YouTube. I appreciate it. Hopefully we get better results. Carlos Rodon, big start. Mets need to get a victory. Let's go. I'll catch you guys tomorrow at 2 a.m. The Warm Show's next. Bye-bye.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.